Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into our next edition here of Fitness with Feldman. And this week, we are going to play another release of some of our Facebook Live Friday events that John has been doing with Sean. And we're going to run into a little bit of a series here. We're going to have two podcasts this week and next week, and a nice blog post that John's put together, all on the difference between acute and chronic workload. So especially as we start to get into the springtime, people getting into these new outdoor activities, getting back up into running and cycling and all sorts of different stuff, this is a really important topic and something that I think doesn't get enough attention and can be really key as far as injury reduction. So enjoy, and if you have any questions, definitely reach out and let us know.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. John here.
How's it going, guys? Sean, student.
He's still hanging around, so that means one of two things. He either likes it or I just haven't found a reason to fail him yet. Yep, happy Friday. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you enjoyed our last few topics on stretching, you know, soft tissue lengthening, things like that. But now we wanted to delve into something else that's really, really common too, and it's about training-related injuries or you know, workload-related injuries and why a lot of injuries happen. I think we kind of break them down into two categories of injuries, right? You have your acute traumatic injury, you slip and fall, you're an athlete on the field and you get hit from the side and your knee buckles, you know, that's an acute injury, you know, that no amount of strengthening might help for, or you're running and you roll your ankle or something like that. Wink, wink, Vanessa. So, you know, shameful turkey trot of 2014, I think. So those are all kind of traumatic injuries that no amount of, preventative training or rehab will, really account for sometimes. So those are the acute category, or that's the acute category. And then we have something that we like to call training-related injuries, where this is something a lot of us have experienced where, you know, you're doing something and with a new activity, and then over time you start to notice something bothering you, whether it's in your shoulder, your hand, your wrist, your knee, your ankle, anywhere. And then it tends to get worse and worse. Or something that, oh yeah, this happens, you know, every year in the spring, you know, when I get active again, and then, you know, when I shut it down, it disappears. So, that's something. Hey, Star, just give him a little shout out to Star. I'll see you up at Lake Placid. I know you'll be volunteering this year, so maybe you can keep me moving. Those little things that we kind of notice every now and then, they come and go as they please sometimes. Those are more training-related issues where it might be due to your workload or your choice of exercises or your choices of activity that we can actually modify. So that's something within our control, one of those modifiable risk factors versus the traumatic injuries that tend to be outside of our control sometimes. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and with the training related, so people tend to use the term overuse.
Yeah.
But we really shouldn't be able to overuse our bodies, right?
So I know Justin's talked about that, not to cut off, but we don't like to use the word overuse. We like to use the word under-recovered. That's a more appropriate way of looking at it.
I didn't know what term I was going to use, but like some form of... you just don't quite have the capacity for what your workload currently is.
And sometimes that capacity fatigue is, sometimes that capacity is a result of too much fatigue. You know, it's if I run really hard today, I might not have the same capacity to do the same tomorrow because of what I did today. I think maybe we're splitting hairs there, overused, under-recovered, but there's quite a difference when it comes to the physiologic breakdown. So,
well, I think when people think of overuse, they think of, okay, I've been using it too much, I need to rest. Yeah. When that's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between those.
Yeah, and so with an overuse, somebody says, oh, I shouldn't, let's take somebody who paints, for example, a painter. We use the rolling or the rollers now, or maybe even still using the brush. Somebody who does that for a living. I've seen a lot of people that aren't painters and they come in for an acute shoulder issue, whether it's impingement or bursitis, because they're painting the house all weekend. They had to get it done. Check off that honeydew list, and that flared up because they did a lot at one time. But just because that happened to them doesn't mean you can't paint. Somebody who paints for a living can do that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
It's just the difference is you are training your body to be accustomed to that same repetitive movement or the repetitive stress. And therein lies the difference, and this is where we start to talk about the training variables. No matter what sport or what exercise, there's always three variables that we can modify: frequency, duration, and intensity. And so out of those, frequency is, you know, how often you're doing it in a given time period, whether it's once an hour, once a day, once a month, twice a year, whatever it might be, five times a week, you know, whether you're training for a sport or you're in the gym doing something. So that's frequency, just in a given time period, how often are you doing it? Duration is how long that exercise lasts, or that particular bout. Yep. And then intensity is what is the stress you're putting on the body? How difficult is it? You know, for different sports, this can be different. You know, for something like weightlifting, it can be something as simple as you're increasing the challenge on your body. So are you increasing the weight? Are you changing the direction that you're pulling something? Are you using gravity to help you, or are you using gravity against you? So those are all things for intensity. When you're running, it's something as simple as increasing speed, explosive, you know, sprints, or even sometimes hills, you know, going up and down a hill can be a different intensity factor because it changes the way certain tendons and muscles have to work. So those are the three variables: frequency, duration, and intensity. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking that I usually like to have people build a nice foundation, and we kind of leave the intensity for last. So like anything, you're building a house, you want to have a nice strong foundation to build on top of. You can't have any gaps or holes in that foundation. We just had a new patient earlier today, you know, law enforcement officer, and he's very, very strong, very well built, but he has some weaknesses in, you know, one of his rotator cuffs, so those stabilizing muscles. So again, there's some gaps in his foundation that we discussed, and he's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, so we're refilling in those holes to make that foundation stronger so that he can continue to build on top of that. So in that vein, I don't know, do you want to talk about, you know, how you can make your foundation, foundation stronger with the first two?
Sure. So we were talking about before, a lot of people, whether you're a runner, whether you lift weights, like a lot of people's mentality is like, I'm just going to hit it hard, right?
Yeah.
That's the term you use.
Yeah, just go all out.
But I mean, sometimes it's best to just increase your frequency or increase your duration before you're increasing that intensity. And intensity refers to I'm going to hit it hard, right?
Yeah.
So, and we're talking about incremental changes in duration and in frequency, right? So you're not just going to, I don't really run. I wouldn't just go out there and run, you know, for an hour five times a week. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
You know?
Easily disaster.
So I know we prescribe for some people, you know, like for running, a couple minutes on, 2 minutes walk, you know, six or 4 minutes on, 6 minutes on, 2 minutes off. That's a great way to start, right?
Yep.
And in the same vein, frequency, right?
Yep.
You're not going to do that five times a week. You're going to do it, I don't know, two to three.
That's where it becomes a little tricky.
Yeah, very individualistic.
Yeah. What's your previous history, you know, with this particular sport or activity? You know, how injured are you, so to speak? You know, are there any precautions that go along with that? But
right.
Yeah.
But basically what I'm trying to say is frequency, duration, that's what you're changing first. Intensity is the last thing,
yep.
The last variable to change.
Yep. So that's how you can minimize your risk of injury. So build that nice strong foundation with frequency and duration.
That's not fun though, you know. People wanna be intense, people wanna do, you know, lift heavy weights right away, but
that's okay. That's how we stay in business. So.
Exactly. No, that goes back to the pay to play type thing, though.
Yeah.
You know? We have to pay our dues to play the game, and that means focusing on frequency and duration first.
Yeah, we tell people all the time, you have to earn the right to do whatever you want to do. There's an opportunity cost for everything. You know, I've said before, if I want to go out and have a slice of pizza right now for lunch, that means I can't have green vegetables and, you know, grilled chicken. So I'm training something there, you know, and likewise, if I want to go have grilled chicken vegetables, I'm not going to be able to do what I actually want to do. So if you want to go out there and hit it hard, you know, too much too soon, you know, your opportunity cost there is you might be increasing your risk of injury, and you might be setting yourself up for disaster. And we see it a lot because we're adults now and our jobs are not too be active all the time or not get paid to do whatever we want to do that our hobbies are. For some of us that are, that's amazing, and we love that that you're able to do that too. We live vicariously through you. Yeah, but for everybody else, you have to earn that right. And so that's where, you know, sports have, you know, different seasons. So we talk about this with our athletes, whether you're a young recreational athlete, high school, collegiate, professional, or even, you know, some of us that, you know, want to get back into it. Regardless of the level of activity or competition, every sport has a season, a postseason, an offseason, and a preseason. So those four different seasons all have a very different focus, and their job is to focus on certain aspects of that sport and forget about others, and then the focus shifts. So it's almost like a curve where the focus will shift back and forth. Intensity might increase, you know, whereas a specific sport might decrease. So for instance, like any kind of field sport athlete, you may use that soccer ball, basketball, football, volleyball, field hockey stick. You might use that less in the off season, and you really only might start using those skills again as you get closer to the preseason and the actual season. Because the focus should shift, preparing your body more, and the overall intensity should gradually ramp up as you get close to the season, and then you kind of peak and level off there a little bit, and you're focusing on the competitions where you're resting and recovering. We actually see it a lot of injuries in our local high school and collegiate athletes where the needle is being pushed so hard, they're redlining all the time throughout competitions. I think it was Arlington Boys Soccer a couple years ago. They had the majority of their high school games in the whole month of September, and I think only two in October. You know, so that's something that it can be a blessing and a curse. Hey, Chris, what's up? It can be a blessing and a curse, but you know, something that we should still pay attention to as far as the athletes and their recovery from bouts of intensity.
Yep, and that kind of leads us into what we wanted to talk about in the tail end of this.
Yep,
and
a little
more,
teaser.
More, yeah, exactly, but more so next week, right? Which is that acute-chronic workload ratio.
Yep.
We talked about that, or we used that term last week. In our teaser for this week,
yeah.
But it's more so a teaser for next week.
We were planning on talking a little bit more about it in detail, but it's we were reviewing it all, and it can get quite dense.
We needed to build a foundation,
yep.
Right?
Nice. Nicely done. He's picking some things up. You'll do just fine. Yeah, so we got to build a foundation there of knowledge, and mm-hmm. It can get super dense, and it's super packed, and we don't want to get bogged down in the minutia of it, but you know, the basic concept that we look at somebody who's active, again, no matter what the sport, it could be weightlifting, gymnastics, running, soccer, field hockey, it doesn't matter what it is. If you're training for something, your body is physically training. We have the acute framework period, and we have the chronic period. So we kind of progress through the chronic to the acute. The acute is the now.
Right.
So I'll just use a runner as an example. You know, a runner who's worked on building their foundation of fitness, you know, they're training for months and months before their big race or in their off season. And so we look at the previous 2 to 4 weeks from now as the chronic period that has gained us some fitness because we've recovered from them. The goal of any kind of exercise is to make yourself better and more resilient. Whether you're lifting weights, you know, you break your muscle fibers down to get them stronger, or you're running, you're making your heart and your lungs more efficient at fueling your legs so that they don't burn out as quickly. So the chronic period is where you gain your fitness in the previous 2 to 4 weeks, and then the acute period is the now, the current week that you're in, or the next 7 days. And so what the research has shown is that you want to have a nice ratio there where you never and this is where we'll try and be as basic, as simple as we can to explain it, and then next week we'll get into the more of the details. But you never want the workload of the now, the acute period, to be more intense than the previous 2 to 4 weeks, because your risk of injury will go up.
Right.
So the previous 2 to 4 weeks is, again, your fitness, and your current acute period is your fatigue. So, you know, again, if I'm working out today, I'm gonna get really tired. If I do a run later today, which I have to do, and then, you know, later on down the road, you know, or down the, over the weekend, I'm gonna have a long bike ride and another long run, and I'll have to lift some weights too. I'm getting fatigued from all this. And so there's a framework, you know, intelligent design behind my programming where I'm not getting hurt by doing it because I'm structuring it in such a way where I can recover enough for the next session, but still push myself hard enough to have some training effect where I'm going to get better from it by next week.
Right.
So once I fully recover from, you know, this week's training, that's my new fitness, and then I can get into the following week. So it's kind of an ever-evolving system where the previous 2 to 4 weeks keeps going through, and then you have your now, but this now then becomes part of that previous 2 to 4 weeks for next week and 2 weeks from now. So I hope I didn't lose you in that kind of word puzzle right there, but... it's just an important concept that we want people to be able to understand. So without getting into details, I'll let you talk about how you can use RPE instead of actual data for it.
Okay. RPE is rate of perceived exertion. So basically, if I go out for a workout, I'm going to rate it 1 to we use a 1 to 10 scale.
Yeah,
it's easier. So 1 to 10, like 10 being it was the hardest workout of my life. 1, it was like barely broke a sweat. You know, where on that scale was this workout?
Yep.
And if last week I was doing workouts that were a 2, I'm not going to do an 8 this week. That's basically the jump that we're trying to avoid.
Yep, exactly. It's all about, again, that gradual increase in intensity, frequency, duration, and intensity. So tying it back to those three variables we just talked about earlier, that intensity factor is the last one that you want to increase. And you never want it to be big jumps. Like he was saying, small increments, you know, for running, you know, on for a few minutes, off for a few. We usually recommend 10 to 20% increase in overall intensity and volume. You know, other than that, you may increase that risk of injury. So yeah, if you've got a hard week planned, you know, think about it. Or if you're feeling pretty fatigued, it could be something as simple as, I didn't get enough sleep, I'm really stressed at work, you know, I haven't been eating as well. You know, your body will let you know. There's some subjective things involved that will definitely affect your ability to perform, and it might make the same amount of exercise or activity that much harder on you. So that's why athletes, when they're fatigued, I mean, they're million-dollar assets. They're paid to rest. They have people watching them. You know, if the athlete is not feeling well, it could be completely different from what they planned. They'll say, you know what, pace it back. Or, you know, a football player or basketball player had a hard game and, you know, the game went into overtime. And again, they were on the field for much longer than they were expected. They're going to shift their training focus in the next few weeks, and it's going to be more about recovery. So I hope we kind of, you know, gave you a little bit about this acute chronic workload ratio and something to think about on your own. It might seem like it was a little all over the place. Again, we were trying to find a way to explain the basic concept or the crux of it without getting too bogged down with the details and the research. But we'll get into that next time. We'll prepare a little bit so we can hopefully have a better way to present it to you. But just look at the last few weeks that you've been training, whatever activity you've been doing, and you never want, you want to make sure you're fully recovered, and you never want what you have planned for the next, you know, 7 to 10 days to outweigh what you've done over the past 2 to 4 weeks. That's a great way to increase your risk of injury. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, take that for what it's worth. Again, you know, listen to that first part about the training details and the variables, because that applies to literally anything. I don't know. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Anything else?
No, I think that's good for this week.
All right, that's enough made up data on Facebook Live Friday. So hope you guys are having a good one, surviving all the ice storms that we have coming. Should be pretty decent this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
So I know some of us will get out there running, so I'll see some of you guys on the trails.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one.